And that was, and Rabbi Nizal spoke about the fact that between Hashem and the Jew, the highest level of das that a Jew could achieve is a level where the only difference between the person and Hashem is in five items of das. And this is pretty much the topic that we had in the previous Torah. There's two items that Rabbi Nosson mentions related to this. Number one, the fact that we see that when it came time to Avram Avinu to have children, Hashem had to change his name, to add the letter Hey to his name, and to change Sarah Imenu's name to put a Hey in there in order for them to be Moiled. But it's interesting to note that Yishmael was born before this happened. Avram Avinu had Yishmael, had a son Yishmael, before the Hey was added to his name. Why? Because bringing Yishmael into the world, Yishmael didn't have to have this Das. The concept of having a Jewish child, bringing children into the world, Bnei Yisrael, is so that they should have this Das, and they should be Mamshich, this Das, from generation to generation. That happened when Yitzchak Avinu was born. In order for Yitzchak Avinu to be born, Avram Avinu had to have this Hey added to his name. But in order for Yishmael to be born, that kind of Leda, in a sense, it's like giving birth to a behemoth, that didn't require the Das. In other words, the Hey, this Das is needed so that the child should be able to be a Hamshach of this Das from generation to generation. Also, the fact that we find that the food from which a person gets Das is specifically grains, those items. The chameshes minei dogon, that represents the items which we make the bracha, hamoitzi lechem in oretz, the hay hayadiyah there, hamoitzi, and bichlal, those items are considered to be brain food, also because there are five of them.
Why was it so for sure that Yishmael should have this meaning?
Why it was so chashuv, I'm sure there's a reason. In other words, what? But the fact that he did have it is a tremendous source of suffering to us, Bnei Israel, because that's what gave him tremendous, that's what gave him memsholo over all the other nations of the world, in a sense. In other words, the fact that we see, for example, today, that the Arabs, with the oil, have a certain control over the world, that shlita is based on that bris milah, the Zohar HaKadosh says, mentions it specifically, plus other things. The question as to why Hashem wanted it to happen, I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know it offhand. Till after Avraham Avinu had the bris. Separate, I don't know if it's connected for sure.
If the hay is needed to make the child in of great stature, how is it possible that
The answer is that Avraham Avinu wasn't, Yitzchak Avinu is called the first Leda of a Jew, in a sense, born to Jewish parents. Avraham Avinu came from the outside, in a sense. He came from Terach and his wife, where it wasn't that kind of a Leda of purity, the same as by Yitzchak Avinu. It isn't the same level. Okay. This Torah in the Kutim Ran was said by Rabbeinu Zal on a Shabbos Chanukah, and it's a little bit longer than the Torahs we've had more recently, and it has a tremendous amount of Musar and things that apply very much tachlis-wise, in terms of things that Rabbeinu Zal wants a Breslev Chassid to do on a daily basis. Rabbeinu Zal bases this on the laning that's done on Chanukah. Generally we read Parshas Miketz. Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim Yomim, Uparei Choylem, V'inei Oymed Al Yoyer, V'inei Min HaYoyer Oylois Sheva Porois. The dream of Paroi, seeing the seven fat cows, the seven skinny cows. Rabbeinu Zal says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Elokai, Godalto Ma'oid, you are very great. Hoid v'hodor levoshto, you clothe yourself in beauty and glory. Oite oyer kasalmo, Hashem spreads out his light like a cloak. Noite shamayim kayoria, and Hashem spreads out the heavens like a curtain. Kitzrichin lishmor ma'oides hazikoroin, a Jew has to guard his memory very well. Shelo yipoil l'shikcha, not to fall into a state of forgetting. Bechinas misas halev. Forgetting, Rabbeinu Zal says, is synonymous with a person's heart going dead. Because there's a pasuk that says, Nishkachti kameis milev. I was forgotten like a dead person is forgotten from the heart. So we see that shikcha is called misas halev chas v'shon. It's as if a death takes place within the heart of the person. The ikar hazikor. Now, what is a person supposed to remember? What's a Jew supposed to remember? The answer is, if you look in the Siddur, there's sheish zechirois. person's supposed to remember a whole Yetzias Mitzrayim and this and that. Note, you have this throughout the Likutim Ran. Rabbein Azal uses this word, Ve'ikar Hazikorin. Ikar Hazikorin means there's a number of things a Jew's supposed to remember. But the most important thing that a Jew's supposed to remember is Lizkor Tomid Ba'alma Do'osi. To always remember the fact that there's a future world. That whatever I'm going through here is temporary. If I'm going through suffering here, how bad could it be if I know that it has to come to an end? Olam Hazeh is temporary versus Olam Haba, that's going to be permanent. And so too, Bechlal, in terms of looking forward, talking about the future, I'm doing this for my future, to know that any future other than Olam Haba is very limited. Lizkor Tomid Balmadosi, Shaloyiya Bedaito Chas Vesholom Shein Oilam Elechod. A person should not allow his brain to be programmed into thinking that there's only one world. There's only this world and nothing else. Vaidemash Medabik Machshavtoi Balmadosi. And by a Jew doing this, by a Jew thinking of Oilam Haba all day, Ali Dezer Nase Yichud Hashem Elikai Kanal. That person brings about the yichud of Hashem Elokim. We had this in previous chapters in Likud Imran, the fact that Lo Sed Lovoi, nowadays there's Hashem and Elokim. There's Midas Rachmim and Midas Adin. Lo Sed Lovoi, it's going to be all one. There's going to be a yichud between Hashem and Elokim. So if a person programs his mind not to be thinking so much, not to be so heavily involved and concerned about breakfast, lunch, or supper, or about their clothing, or about their house, or their car, but to be thinking more about their future apartment, about their residence in Olam Haba, to the extent that a person is zeichet to be more there than over here, to that extent the person is zeichet to make this yichud of Hashem Elokim. Ki Hashem Elokim hu bechinas shem mole, because the combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokim is called the full name of Hashem. Shehu bechinas almadosi. This is called Olam Haba. Kemuva, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, v'chein mevur b'sava mishpotim daf tzadik ches al posik zeh. It's also brought in a certain section in the Zohar Kodesh, where the Sava Kadisha spoke to the Talmidim of Rav Shem Yechozal in Parshas Mishpotim, where he said over there, Hashem Elokai do sheirusa dememenusa. This refers to the trustworthy service of Hashem. Sliku de machshava dalmadosi. This refers to a person elevating his thought to Olam Haba. So we see that this concept of thinking of Olam Haba is a concept of Hashem Elokim, yichud of Hashem Elokim.
What you mentioned, Ben Azal mentions as far as always thinking of Olam Haba and not putting too much attention to Israel. But the fact is that we are in this world.
Right.
We have to make use of this world as well as
it's a question of where to put the dagish. Where to put the emphasis? You have a house. Person comes into a house. There's a hallway. Normally, people don't walk right into the living room. People design an apartment. They design it in such a way that there's a little hallway so that the person has a chance to straighten out. There's a mirror on the wall. You can straighten out. Make sure you look normal before coming in. And then you walk into the main room where you're going to have your meeting, where you're going to have your meal, whatever you're going to do. Anything important or significant, you don't really do in that entrance way. Here also, this world, there are certain people who are koivei amokoim here. They take this world very seriously, and they take their every success and failure of Olam Hazeh very seriously. Whereas if a person programs their mind to think differently, that whether today I made another $50 or less $50 shouldn't blow me away. It shouldn't get me super excited or super depressed. Whereas anything that I did today to prepare for Olam Haba, that's something that should have tremendous meaning to me. The fact that I was zeichet today to daven shachris with a minyan, that's something that should be much more important to me, much more significant than other things that I did today which made provisions for my physical existence or my family's physical existence. Because this is temporary and that's permanent. It doesn't mean that this is the stepping stone. It's what you do in this world that gets you there. But to know that it's a tachlis, this is 70 years and that's 70 billion years. That's the difference. Ubechinas zu lizkor tomid boilam haba. This concept of being able to constantly think of Olam Haba, that's the whole punchline here. Everybody, a lot of people get to do this 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes a week or on Yom Kippur every once in a while. But for a person to be constantly plugged into this, dahainu la'adbiko machshavto ba'almadosi, to be dovuk, to be madbik his machshove in Olam Haba, hu beklolius ubeprotius. a Jew has to be able to do this on two different levels, in a general way and in a very detailed way. Beklali is, in a general way, Kach roi liyois minig yirei Hashem. This is supposed to be the custom of any Jew that has fear of Hashem and respect for Hashem. Takeif baboiker bohokitzoi, immediately, as soon as a person gets up in the morning, koidem sheyaschil shum dovar, before the person does anything else, yizkor miyad bialmadosi. The first thought should be, where did I just come from? I shouldn't forget where I just came from. The Zohar HaKadosh says, a person goes to sleep, then a neshama goes upstairs. It leaves this world and goes into another place. And then a person wakes up in the morning, hamachzir neshamos levgorim mesim. The person died, when Toilam Haban is coming back now. And most people, the second he comes back, he forgot where he was. And he starts getting involved in the whole day's activity, forgetting you just came from Olam Haba. You're plugged in there, you're connected. So Rabbeinu Zal says, take it, Baboy Rakitza, before he starts anything, Yizkor Miyad Baal Madosi, the person should remember where they came from and where they're going to. Olam Haba. That's on a general level, once a day. Person's supposed to do this the minute they get up, that the first thought that comes out of their brain should be thinking of Olam Haba. That my reason for everything I'm going to do today is going to have to be directed towards my real future. V'achakach yaseh zois beprotius. And then, throughout the day, a person has to be able to do this in a very detailed way. How? Ki kol ho'olam hazeh hu hislapshus madregois hatachtoinois shelagdusha. Rabbeinu Zal here gives a very deep explanation as to kaviyochel, what part of Hashem is present in this world and what part of Hashem isn't really present in this world. The Rabbeinu Zal says, olam hazeh is the hislapshus of the lowest levels of kedusha. Hainu bechinas raglin shelakedusha. Kaviyochel, it's only the feet of Hashem that make a major appearance in this world. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'ho'oretz hadoim ragloi. The world is the footstool of Hashem. On a footstool, you don't put your stomach, you don't put your head, you don't put your chest. It's only the feet that you put there. So if the Torah testifies that ho'oretz, the world, is the footstool of Hashem, then we have to know that it's only the lowest madregas kaviyochel of Hashem that are nislabesh in this world, that are cloaked in this world. Af shegam madrego yisrael yoyne shalakdusha, yesh mehem gam kein hisgalos poilam azeh. Even though the truth is that the higher levels of Hashem, kaviyochel, also sometimes make an appearance in this world. Ach she'ein ha'hisgalos mislabesh bo'etzem boilam azeh. But they don't really make a stand in Olam Hazeh. They don't really get attached to Olam Hazeh. Ki'im he'oro shemeir. It's only like a burst of light and then it leaves. Bebechinas ki'im he'oro shemeir bebechinas raglin. It's only that the upper levels of Kedusha shine some of their light into the feet, kaviyochel, of Hashem, which are what actually are present in this world. Avul bechinas raglin, Mizgalin be'etzem bo'ilam hazeh. Whereas kaviyochel, the feet of Hashem, which represents the lower levels of kedusha of Hashem, that is revealed in a very strong way in this world. What does this mean? Rabbeinu Zal says now, this statement here is a very, very all-encompassing statement. V'chol yoim yesh boi machshavo dibur u'maise. Every single day, a person goes through the thinking process, the speaking process, and doing certain actions. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzamtzem elokusoi me'ein soif ad ein tachlis ad nekudas hamerkas shel olam hagashmi shoymed olav. Kaviyochel, Hashem constricts himself and reconstricts himself and reconstricts himself and shrinks himself in order to make an appearance in this physical world. And Hashem sends each and every single person thoughts and words and actions lefi hayoim, based on that particular day, ulefi ha'odom, and based on each and every individual person, ulefi ha'mokoim, and based on the place where that person is. And Hashem, within the thoughts and words and actions that Hashem sends the person, Hashem hides remozim, all kinds of hints, kidei lekarvo el avodosoi, in order to bring that person closer to Hashem. This says it all, sort of. This describes exactly what Hashem's connection with us is in this world. That we're found in a world, and we mentioned many times the word, the Hebrew word for world is olam. Olam means he'elam, hidden. In this world, everything's hidden. It's not in an obvious way. If a Jew would see Hashem standing with a gun, shooting a thought at him, and the person would see that this thought came directly from Hashem, now I have to think about what to do with it, with this. Exactly what does Hashem want me to do with this thought? Let's say a person suddenly feels an inspiration to do a mitzvah, to learn. Sometimes the person gets the thought, and it goes in, and it goes right out. The person doesn't really do anything with it. Why? Because the person doesn't realize that there's this kaviyochel, there's Hashem standing over me. Forget the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't exist, because the Gemara says that each and every person has to say Bishvili Nivra Hoylam, that the whole world is created just for me, and everything that's happening is custom tailored for me. Which means that if I'm standing on Chai Taib Street and there's a car accident that happens and I witness it, or well, anything happens, if a Jew makes the mistake of thinking, well, there were a hundred other people there, so it's silly for me to say that that had something specific, a specific message for me. Baloney, that's kfira, that's denying the purpose of creation. Because the perspective that a Jew is supposed to have is that the whole world is just, it's only me. And I'm supposed to concentrate on watching every single action that happens, everything that I witness, everything that I hear, everything that I see. It's all Hashem sending messages to me 24 hours a day to bring me close. Sometimes it's through chesed, by doing acts of kindness. Sometimes it's through din. Sometimes it's through happiness, through tears, loud things, quiet things, colorful things, hot, cold, all kinds of things. And all of this is all based on exactly where I'm at right now. Hashem knows exactly where I'm holding right now. And only Hashem knows exactly what I need to see or hear or taste in order to help me come close to Hashem, bedafka today, within the exact place that I am and everything going on.
So what happens when it seems that things are pushing you away from Hashem instead of towards
him? You're simply standing upside down. The person has to simply put himself right side up to be able to see it this way. Because we're being told that there aren't any two options here. It's not option A is Hashem wants to bring the Jew close. Option B, Hashem wants to push him away. There is no such option B. It says, "Ki lo yachpoitz b'mois hameis, ki im b'shuvoi medarkoi haroa v'choyo." Even if a person thinks they got a smicha, that they're a full-fledged Rosha, person came to the conclusion that, listen, that's all fine and dandy, it doesn't apply to me because I'm a Rosha. If that's true, then Hashem says, you know what I want for the Rosha? I want the Rosha to come back. And therefore, I structure all the things that happen around that person all day and all night in such a way that if the person is honestly looking, if the person is looking with an Ein Ho'emes, not if the person's depressed and they're looking with their eyes closed, but if a person will be zeched to really open their eyes and look with an Ein Ho'emes at what's going around them and beg Hashem to be zeched to interpret it properly, the person will see that there's thousands, millions of things happening in my life every day that are all messages being sent to me by my wife and children, friends, brothers, people I work, my boss at work, the computer, everything going on around my life is showing me simonim and remozim to get me to come closer to Hashem.
Two questions. First of all, where is this zikaron? Where is this an example of the pratiyas, the level that it says Rabbeinu Zaskun is on two bechinas, kalyas and pratiyas? So the first thing, the pratyas, the kalyas, he explained that you think
when you get up in the morning,
think
about what happened.
Where's this pratyas?
I'm showing you the pratyas. If I come into work, yes. If I come into work today and my boss gives me a certain item to work on, if my attitude is that what I'm being given to work on here has nothing to do with Olam Haba, it simply has to do with the fact that the Israeli government needs this and this program written, and because there's a bug in some, if I take that attitude, I'm cutting myself out of Yiddishkeit. I'm detaching that from Hashem. And it's Rabbeinu Zal saying here, it's a lie. If I try to do it, I should know I'm full of baloney, because it's simply me looking at it crooked, because it's really not true. Because Hashem says clearly to me, to every single me in this world, that you should know that everything that's going to happen to you throughout the day, everything, begashmius baruchnius, any thought that's going to cross your mind, any words that you're going to converse with anybody, Jew, non-Jew, male, female, family member, workers, anybody, excuse me, or any action that I'm going to do or that's going to be done to me today, all has in it messages, remozim, for me to come closer to Hashem. And it's only if I'm thinking of that all day, if I'm thinking of that, then everything that happens, either sometimes my eyes will be open to see the message, or even if I won't see it, I'll believe it. So that when I see my boss tells me today you're going to have to stay later at work an hour and a half, and I'm feeling terrible that this means I'm going to miss my learning an hour and a half, there should be 10 different thoughts that cross the person's mind. That number one, the fact alone that I feel bad, that alone is a mitzvah. Could be that's the nachas Hashem wants to get from me. One day Hashem wants to get nachas from the Jews learning, and the other day Hashem wants to get nachas from the Jews feeling bad that he couldn't learn. And both are important. Or could be Hashem wants me to yearn for it more. Could be Hashem feels that I'm not taking my shir at night seriously enough. I'm not showing my appreciation to Hashem for it enough. Or to my wife for letting me go out to learn. Or to all the different things. And therefore I'm being pinched a little bit. It's being taken away from me for one day. So tomorrow when I'll go to learn, I won't be falling asleep anymore. I'll take it 50 times more serious because I felt what it was to be taken away. I'm giving you examples on the smallest level. But there's millions of ways that Hashem is sending remozim for a person to be thinking that everything that's taking place within the framework of Olam Hazeh has no meaning within Olam Hazeh only, but rather it has its connection to Olam Haba.
That was my question. Why is this necessarily? What is this? Why is the emphasis here that this is the kernel of Olam Amad Asi? Is that synonymous with just being makarv to Hashem, that it's Olam Hazeh? In other words, we're seeing remozim, and Hashem wants to be makarv, that we should be makarv to Hashem.
What does that mean, though? Makarv to Hashem. There's some people think in terms of there's an Olam Hazeh. Those people say you have to live in this world. Stop being such a yo-yo fanatic or cut the religion. Religion has its place. The place for religion is in the shul or in the cemetery. Here you're at work. Leave the religion out. Just do your work and. And that's kfirah. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal showing you here that a truly religious Jew, a Yirei Hashem, is thinking of Olam Haba 24 hours a day. And his Olam Hazeh, he knows, isn't an entity unto itself. Everything that's happening to him in Olam Hazeh, every single machshav or dibur maisa within Olam Hazeh, is all programmed towards his Olam Haba. It's all remozim being sent to him to bring him closer to Hashem, which means to get him into Olam Haba. You're using the words get him close to Hashem. I'm saying it's all geared towards a real future.
Also on a technical point, does this mean every single machshava divah ma'aseh?
Yes.
Yes.
Me'achuz.
Like I said, l'fi hayom, l'fi ha'adam, l'fi ha'makom.
That means that you should know that the thoughts, that the fact that let's say yesterday I was depressed, and today I'm happy, or yesterday I was happy and today I'm depressed, or yesterday I was happy and today I'm happy, one has nothing to do with the other. Every day is a separate world. It's a separate nisoyon, separate milchama. And Hashem is sending me, Hashem is putting me in the mood that I need bedafka for. A person would say, oh, today my day started off. In other words, yesterday I had a good day because it started off a certain way. Yesterday was suited for avodas Hashem. Yesterday I was able to use the day towards Olam Haba. Today I woke up and it's raining. The alarm clock broke. The alarm clock fell into the Negel Vasa. You can't, and I woke up, I missed davening. You can't tell me that today is a day that I'm working towards Olam Haba when the first 2 hours of the day got cut out. So cut. There's no way you can convince me. And the answer is you're full of baloney. That's how Hashem decided. That's your ticket to Olam Haba today. To be able to see the alarm clock fall into the Negev Asa, to miss the minion, and to see how you're going to react to that. Are you going to say, oh, therefore I don't have to put on tefillin today. Therefore I'm not going to be happy. Or you're going to react in a way to interpret the machshava dibur maisa and use it only to bring yourself closer to Hashem. Are you going to say, this is Hashem's way of pushing me away? Or you're going to say, this is Hashem's way of bringing me close? Every single machshava dibur maisa to see if you're going to interpret it properly, if you're going to react to it properly.
How do you truly put this into action? According to your example, let's say your boss says...
By letting me get to the next... You're going to see, he's going to explain. He's going to explain exactly how to do this. I mean it. B'chein tzorech lahamik machshavtoi, the last few lines, bozeh. Therefore, a Jew has to delve into this deeply. This can't be done in a casual way. Again, if a person says, fine, I went to shul, shachris, I had a lot of kavona. I know, you wear tefillin, you're supposed to have kavona, you're supposed to concentrate. But as soon as I took the tefillin off and I went to have breakfast, I left my brain in the tefillin bag. You know, I put my concentration away. I'm reserving the concentration. I'm being a good frum Jew. I'm reserving my real concentration, my moyach, for the tefillin, for the shachris minchamara. But now that I'm having breakfast, whether my wife is going to give me the burnt eggs or the non-burnt eggs, or whether I'm going to have my orange juice today or not have it, or whether I'm going to forget to make a bracha or remember it, all the different things that are going to happen, there I'm taking it light. In other words, I'm not thinking deeply during breakfast, or certainly when I go to work, I leave the brain at home because I intend to use it tonight for learning. But in terms of what's going to be going on throughout the day, taking my kids to Gan, or all those things, there's no deep thinking that's supposed to go into that. Rabbi Nizal says, sheker. Bechein tzorech lahamik machshavtoi bozeh. A person has to think deeply into this. A person has to have the brain turned on all day and be thinking on a deeper level, looking past the surface of what they're doing. Ulahagdil binosoi, and to increase his level of understanding things properly, reading things properly. Ulahovin mahu haremizus beprotius shemelubosh bezois hamachshava dibur amaisa shel zeh hayoyim. What exactly is Hashem trying to hint to me by this thought that crossed my mind today? Or by this conversation that I just had with this person? Or by this thing that just happened to me? I just got this phone call where I got bad news. Or I just got this phone call where I got good news. What does it mean? What is Hashem trying to tell me? Shemelubosh bazois hamachshav adibur amaisa shel zeh hayoyim shizman Hashem izbarach, that machshav adibur amaisa, that remez, which is hidden in the machshav adibur amaisa of today, which Hashem sent me, hein malacha, whether it's related to work, hein mas oy maso matan, or whether it's related to business, v'chol ma shemazmen loy Hashem izbarach b'chol yoyim, everything that Hashem sends to a person every single day, tzorech lehaamik, ulahagdil machshav toy bozeh. He has to think deeply into this and to expand his machshav on this. Kidei lahovin rimizoiso shel Hashem Yisborach. In order to get to a madrega where he's zeichet to understand the messages that Hashem is sending him. Lahavdil. There are times that a parent wants to tell a kid something, and the parent knows that if they're going to say this openly, the kid won't accept it. So the parent knows to use chachma, use a little tact, not say it directly, but rather hint what they're saying in a certain way, not saying it openly. Now, when you do that, you're taking a shot. Sometimes the kid is so involved in his French toast or in the TV program or in whatever he's doing that despite the fact that you sincerely meant to communicate this message to him, he's not on the same program as you. He's not on the same wind over his head or under his feet. Sometimes you see a perfect guided missile that you say it, he hears it, you didn't say anything to him, he didn't say, and the message was gotten across and you get, and that's exactly how Hashem works with us most of the time. We're in Olam. Olam means, today Hashem is throwing ramozim. He's not hitting you in the face openly, but he's trying to send you all kinds of subtle messages and subtle hints and non-subtle and from all sides to wrap the person up from 100 different directions, hoping that 1 out of 1,000 messages is going to get through, or 5 out of 1,000 messages are going to get through today, that the person's going to see 5 out of 1,000 remosim that Hashem sent him to try to bring him close, and he'll take those 5 hints at least and use them to come close to Hashem. Now, this is obviously a madrega. Person has to be mispalel for this. Person has to learn a lot. There are stories in the Gemara. How do you know how to do this? There are stories in the Gemara where the Gemara says X, Y, Z happened to a person, and the person thought about it and said, this must mean this and this, therefore let me go do this. The Gemara tells a story of two rabbis who were sitting, and one of them heard a voice from heaven that said a certain thing. So he asked his friend, did you hear that? Did you hear anything now? So the friend said, no. So the other Rav said, then it must mean that message was sent for me. It was a message about going back to learn. They were both headed to go out into business. And one of them got a phone call, the other one didn't get the phone call from Hashem. So again, he checked with his friend first. If he would have heard that both of them got the same phone call, then maybe this message wasn't dafka for me. Maybe I could suspect it's not for me. But if two of us are sitting right next to each other and I heard it and he didn't hear it, or I saw it and he didn't see it, then the Satan can't give me any baloney stories. Then I know this was a direct phone call, a direct communication from Hashem to me. Hashem is trying to tell me something, period. And now I have to act on it. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan became a super, he became Rosh Yeshiva, Mordar Yisrael, and Ilfa went out into business. But this wasn't Stam, a businessman. The Gemara says after a year or two of business, he said to his friends, he saw what happened to both of them, and then he got up on top of a ship, on the mast of a ship, and he said, I challenge anybody to ask me any question on any Brisa, not on a Mishnah, on any Brisa and Shas to see if I can't answer it. And people started shooting, and if I can't answer it, I'll jump off the ship, I'll kill myself. He wanted to show that it's possible for a person to go out into business and work, and still have time to be kovei timla Torah and learn and remain a super Talmud Chacham, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm just showing the example. There was a clear, here the Gemara tells hundreds of stories teaching you what kind of messages Hashem sends and how to interpret them, and etc., etc. Ach, Rabbi Nezal says, however, ha-hagdolas ha-sechel bozeh tzorech liyos b'mida. This kind of thing, a person can use this to tie themselves up in a million knots. Rabbi Nezal warns that as far as going too big on this, a person has to do this within certain limitations. Shelo yetze migvul ha-kidusha, that he should keep this within the limits of kedusha, not to cross certain lines. Rak lefi sechel enoishi shaloi, but rather to limit this to his human comprehension. Kain yagdil amachshava bazeh, according to the level of sechel that he has, that's what he's allowed to use for this. Not to get involved in baloney, the Meforshim say here, like a person walks under a ladder, or all kinds of the baloney, the darkei amoiri, or all the, unfortunately, there are certain tribes among us, certain sects among us, which are very much into this. They walk into a room and the light goes on, the light goes off, and they'll sit for 4 hours trying to see what interpretations and mystical configurations they're going to configure out of this. Has to do with frogs.
Frogs?
Yes. No. The answer is, we're saying in terms of a Rabbi Nezal warns that there's a lines drawn here that you're supposed to do this with logic, not with cuckoos, not with mystical stuff that's out of your reach. And also a person shouldn't try to look at these things above his level, in a way that's above his level. Because the Torah tells us that there are certain levels which b'mufla mimcha al tidroish. Again, each and every single person has a level that to him is considered to be over his head. So that whereas for a certain Talmud Chacham or for a certain tzaddik, this, it's not considered over his head to be looking at a certain event that happened and looking to interpret it in a certain deeper way. For a person on a lower level, they have to know that Hashem doesn't send you his message. If Hashem is sending you a message, he'll send it in a way where you, with your brain, have the ability to interpret it. You don't have to go to Kabbalists and them and ask them, please interpret what happened to this. Because if you're doing that, you're saying that Hashem sent me a message that he can interpret in a sense. Hashem sends the person messages that they themselves are expected to be able to get the message in a sense. That's because a certain higher level messages, depending on the level a person's on. So we see even by Rivka, there are times that a person has to go to a tzaddik for clarification. But again, sometimes that's due to a person's own madrega, the fact that the person knows he's done certain things wrong, where he's cut the wires, in a sense, between himself and Hashem, where he's not able to feel the communication. But I'm saying on a general level, the person shouldn't assume that everything is mystical gobbledygook, but rather, kavyochel alat is Hashem talking straight to the person, giving a person hints, where if the person will be mamik machshavtoi a little bit at least, they'll be able to get the message. V'zeh godalton ma'oid hoid v'hod olavoshto. This is where it says, kavyochel Hashem, you're very great. You cloak yourself in beauty, hoid and hodor, two terms that refer to beauty. Hainu, Kisheroi tzelikach dovor mizeh oilom. When a person wants to take something from this world, oilom hazeh, shehu bechinas hoid v'hodor lavoshto. This is the world where Hashem cloaks his hoid and hodor. Hoid and hodor represent the feet, the lower madregos of kedusha. Shehim bechinas raglin hamelubashim mizeh oilom. This refers kaviyochel to the feet of Hashem, which are melubash in this world. The world is called the footstool. V'horetz hadoim ragloi. This world is the footstool of Hashem. As it says on the side here, ki horaklin heim bechinas netzach v'hoid, shein bechinas hoid v'hodor. A nickname for netzach and hoid, the midos of Hashem of netzach and hoid, which correspond to the feet, is hoid and hodor. Ukema shekosu b'sova anal, as is written in the Sova Kaddish and Mishpotim, hoid v'hodor levoshto, ilein train bade arovois. This refers to the two sticks of the arovois in the luluv, ayin shom, al shem shem bechinas netzach vohoid, bechinas raklin kiyodua. We know that in the luluv, the hadasim and the luluv and the arovois represent different midos of Hashem. The arovois represent netzach and hoid, the feet kaviyochel. So hoid vohodor is a synonym for netzach vohoid. So when it says godalto mo'oid, hoid v'hodor levoshto, it means that when it comes to hoid v'hodor levoshto, the part of Hashem that's melubosh in this world, and a person wants to be able to understand it and interpret it, yihye bebechinas godalto mo'oid. The person has to be magdil sichloi on one hand. He's got to expand his brain and not look at things just literally the way they are, but look deeper, look under the surface to see what's going on. But the hagdolas hasechel yihye b'mido u'b'tzimtzum. The godalto has to be with a ma'oid, with a tzimtzum. Ma'oid implies tzimtzum. V'ze ma'oid shehu sitra d'smolo. Ma'oid represents the left side. It says v'hine toiv ma'oid zu malach hamoves. On the day of creation, where Hashem's, where it says v'hine toiv ma'oid, it says that's the angel of death, which is the left side, a concept of tzimtzum. Shemimenu ha'tzimtzum. The left side is where the tzimtzum is. So Rabbeinu Zal now interpreted this whole pasuk for us. Hashem Elokai. Hashem Elokai means Olam Haba. This concept of Olam Haba, Godalto. A Jew is supposed to be magdil, his machshava, expand his thinking, to be thinking in terms of Olam Haba. That while he's in Olam Hazeh, he should be reading everything that happens to him as messages to get him into Olam Haba. But this godalta has to be ma'oid. It has to be with a tzimtzum, because hoid v'hodor levoshta. Because kaviyochel, it's the raklin of Hashem. It's the lower level of Hashem that's melubosh in this world. And that lowest level is something that we can try to understand. We can try to get messages from it and get information from it to bring us closer to Hashem, to bring us to the tachlis, which is olam haba. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go on to explain that this sounds great. If I know this, then I don't need a Gemara anymore, or a Chumash, or a Shulchan Aruch. Forget all of that stuff. That's limiting. If I can go out into the street and just keep my eyes open and my ears open and be listening for all the messages of Hashem, that sounds like being plugged into Hashem 24 hours a day on the highest level. Rabbeinu Zal says, no, this isn't the highest level. This is the lower level. This is Raglin. There's a higher level, which is learning Torah and other things, where there you're getting even higher level messages. That's what we're going to see, Mitzvah Shem, in the next paragraph.
On this, putting it into action, like on the example you gave, say your boss says to you have to work late together.
Right.
So you have a couple options. Option A, because your mind and the world depend on you, this year is definitely more important.
I'll quit the job.
I'll work overtime on another night. I'm going to my share. Or B, you just bite your tongue in. And work the overtime and
desire,
but in actuality, though, how do you know what Hashem is wanting from?
The answer is you don't. Or C is that part of your hispoidedness every day is begging Hashem that once I've been told this, once I've been taught that Hashem is going to be communicating with me 24 hours a day, he's going to be sending me messages and signs, and I know that it's possible, just like when I want to give my son a certain signal, there's sometimes I'm trying to give him signal A, and he reads it as Z. He reads it, there's sometimes you tell somebody something, and they interpret it exactly the opposite of what you really meant to say. Yes or no? Husband and wife, other situations. So a person has to beg Hashem, this is part of the tefillah, Hashem, give me the ability to be magdil my sechel and mamik my machshavo, that I should be able to read the messages the right way. I should be zeichet to know what you're trying to tell me so that I should respond properly.
I was going to say it's something easier. He's asking like as if it's your term. It's not the message isn't to decide what you should do in life. The message is to remind you about Al-Bas.
On the contrary, it's both.
It's even whatever you did, it's the message of reminding you.
But it's both. It's both. He's right also. You don't understand. If that event happens, depending on how you react to it, you're either going to bring yourself one step closer to Olam Haba or one step further from it. Every decision you make, every action you do, every thought you think, you see something. Now, whether I decide to look at it for another second or not look at it another second is going to determine whether I made myself a step closer to Olam Haba or not. They're doing Hagba on the Sefer Torah. One guy say, looks and looks away. And another person looks for another 3 seconds because they have Emuna. The Arizal says that there's a light coming from those letters at that time. I believe that there's a difference between just glancing and then going on to my business versus looking at it with the respect as if someone was showing me $10 million. Picture, somebody came into a room and said, would you like to see what $10 million looks like? Here's a bit. Everybody would look. They wouldn't look just for a second and then go on talking to their friend. You'd see everybody stop what they were doing and stare and look and really be curious to see exactly what $10 million looks like. Here also, it's a matter of every move you're making. And not just every move you're making, but every move that's being made on you. Every word that's spoken to you. Somebody bumps into me. Am I going to push him back? Am I not going to push him back? Am I going to swallow my pride? Am I going to say, excuse me? Every single move is all closer to, is all a reminder of Olam Haba. And it's a decision to bring myself closer or further away. It's both.
Right.
It's both.
He says, I feel there's a difference between somebody pushing me and me reminding myself that even this is made of mine, and there's a difference between that and somebody pushing me and me saying, I wonder what this means in my life. Maybe this is a sign that I should, you know, there's a certain attitude that would be very dangerous.
So that's what Rabbi Nezal says here. Rabbi Nezal says, Godalta Moid, that this has to be done with certain restrictions and limitations. But on the other hand, somebody pushes me, if I make a decision to push him back or not to push him back, I believe that that was a test that I was given, and if I pass the test, Baruch Hashem, this, at least I didn't push myself one block further away from the Tachlis.
So, Hashem's not saying, tell the boss if you're not going to watch
Hashem for Akev for 172 years. So these first three represent the Tumah. The Meforshim point out, Rabbi Nezal points out, that this is the secret also to the concept of a ger. We know that the Goyim represent Tumah. The Goyim represent Klipa. If that's the case, how is it feasible to have a concept of a convert, one who comes from the Goyim and is able to enter into the Kiddusha? How is that conceivable? He's able to become a Jew. The answer is the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that within the Goyim, you have these two divisions. You have the Goyim whose spirit comes from these three klipos, the Onon Godel, the Ruach Sora, the Esh Mislakachas, and they represent complete bad. There's nothing, you're not allowed to bring them into the Jewish community. There are those Goyim whose spirit comes from Noiga, this fourth klipa, which is something that's in between. It could be shoved, it could be taken into the Kiddusha. And this is the secret, the Meforshim point out, why Hashem said to Avram Avinu, why are you called Avraham? Ki av hamoin goyim nisaticha. I have appointed you a leader, a father of nations. A father. Who were the children of Avram Avinu? The Chumash tells us, Ves hanefesh asher osu b'choron, that Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu were ones who went around converting people, bringing people close to Kedusha. Which people did they convert? Did they take any goy and convert him? We know that the goyim represent Tumah. Avram Avinu was the one who had this wisdom of being able to distinguish and differentiate which goy came from these three klipos and which goy came from Noiga. Noiga is this fourth level. This is why he was called Av, the father of Hamoin Goyim, a multitude of nations, Nisaticha, I have given you. The first letters of Hamoin Goyim Nisaticha make up this word Noiga. Av, the father of Noiga. He's the father of those Goyim specifically whom he was able to identify came from Noiga, and those he was able to draw into the Kedusha. It's brought, the Arizal brings, that that's the secret of Friday. The 6 days of the week generally represent tumah, evil, bad, work, curse, the 39 curses that Hashem gave when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the 10 that went to Adam HaRishon, 10 to Chava, 10 to the snake, and 9 to the ground, those correspond to the 39 acts of work that we're obligated to do during the weekdays. The weekdays are called Sheshes Yomim Tavoid. We work, we're in the category of these 39 malachos, which are called the 39 curses. They correspond to the 39 curses. Be'itzavoin teichalna. The curse was that your parnasa has to be earned through depression. Itzavoin, sadness, curse, tumah. Shabbos represents the complete kedusha. Shabbos represents kulay kodesh. Harachmonu yanchileinu yoyim shekulay Shabbos. Shabbos represents complete purity. If the weekdays represent bad and Shabbos represents good, where is the noiga? The answer is the noiga is Friday. On Friday specifically, when it's coming towards Shabbos, that's when the Arizal says, that's when a Jew has a potential to take this noiga and kick it into Shabbos. Shove it into the Kiddusha. How? The Arizal says there are two mitzvahs specifically that a Jew does on Erev Shabbos, where he takes the noiga and swings it into the Kiddusha. One of those mitzvahs is Shnaya Mikra, the Echad Targum. Targum is Unkelus, the ger, the convert, the noiga. By taking the convert and sandwiching it between Shnaya Mikra, taking twice the Chumash, the Lashon Kodesh, and once the Targum, it's as though we're sandwiching the Targum in between Kiddusha. We're wrapping it up, we're forcing it to come into the Kiddusha. That's one mitzvah that a Jew does on Erev Shabbos specifically, where he swings the noiga into the Kiddusha. The second mitzvah, the Arizal says, is the rechitzas mayim chayim, mayim chamim, that when a Jew washes himself, he takes a shower or a bath with hot water on Erev Shabbos specifically, and he goes to the mikvah, these two mitzvahs are able to push the noiga into the Kiddusha. I'm just giving you a touch. Rabbi Nizal, on that term, the Kodem Antur Yotes, explains in tremendous depth what this secret, why it's called Targum, how Targum is Begematria Tardema. That's the sleep that Hashem put on Adam HaRishon when he created Chava. It's a very, very deep topic in the Likud Emran. And in Likud Halachos, there's a lot written about this.
Say what
would it affect Jews' personality in his whole makeup? What does it actually affect? 100%. 100%. In other words, there's no question that this is considered one of the biggest accomplishments. The Zohar Kodesh says that when Yisrael converted, that was the biggest splash in heaven conceivable, when somebody's able to take somebody that's very, very far from Kiddusha and bring him close. That's the achievement that's done through the saying of Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. We're actually able to take anything that's in this intermediate state and kick it inside the bucket of Kiddusha. Most definitely. Unfortunately, people that don't learn this aren't aware of this, but this is based on a Gemara in Brachas, where this Gemara is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Chaim very, very clearly for all to see, that this is one of the mitzvahs that every single Orthodox Torah observant Jew is required to do. That's the wording in the Gemara, that each and every single Jew is obligated to complete the Parsha with the Tzibur, meaning on a weekly basis when the Torah is going to be read in Shul, each and every single Jew is obligated to complete it on his own. And the Gemara says that this refers to the concept of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, whereby we say the Chumash, the Hebrew, twice, and the Aramaic once. This is written in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, halacha for everybody to follow. However, it is brought, there are different opinions in halacha as to how a person is permitted to do this. Meaning, for example, there are those who say that the way to do this is for a person to do one portion every day of the week. On Sunday to do from beginning till Sheni, on Monday, so on and so forth. There are other opinions that say that a person should take a perek at a time, and do the whole perek, the chumish twice, and then the targum once, the whole thing in one shot. The manner that the Arizal prescribes for doing this, and this is the way that our Rebbe Zichron Levracha told us to do it, is which is considered in this case Cadillac, like the best way in a sense, is to do each and every pasuk, say the pasuk twice and then the targum on it once. The next pasuk twice and then the targum on it once. Until a person gets to the last sentence within a parsha, where there he says the pasuk twice, the targum once, and then he repeats the pasuk a third time. Because we want to end off with chumash, not with targum. Now this is technical halacha for Sfarim, for Ashkenazim, no question at all. This is written clearly in the Shulchan Aruch. It's interesting to note that this item in particular, this mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, there is a tremendous amount written about it in Kabbalah, which we started to explain a little bit last week. We touched on it. The concept of what Targum represents, how Targum represents something that's considered to be the intermediary between Kodesh and Chol, between good and bad. Targum is something, for example, Rabbeinu Zal explains, just to say this in brief, we say on Yantif, in the Shmoneh Esrei, that we say, V'roi mamtonu mikol halashonais. The fact that Hashem has elevated us, has elevated the Jewish nation, the Jewish tongue, the Lashon Kodesh, from all the other nations of the world. As the Gemara tells us in Megillah, the Gemara says that when Yosef HaTzadik was held captive in Egypt, and he was supposed to come before Paroi, one of the problems that he was obviously going to confront was to be able to interpret the dreams of Paroi. And in order to do that, he had to appear intelligent for Paroi in order for Paroi to accept him. So the Gemara says, the night before he was about to appear before Paroi, the Malach Gavriel visited him in prison and taught him all 70 languages of the Goyim. This angel taught Yosef HaTzadik all 70 languages of the Goyim, so that Yosef HaTzadik, who already knew Lashon Kodesh, he already knew Hebrew, because Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael, the language that they spoke then was Lashon Kodesh. As a result, Yosef HaTzadik knew 71 languages. Paroi only knew 70 languages, so that when Paroi attempted to test Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik showed that not only did he know everything that Paroi knew, but he knew even more. And it was at that point that Paroi made him swear that Yosef HaTzadik wouldn't reveal the fact that he knew more than Paroi did, otherwise they would dethrone him. And the Gemara points out that it's this Shvua that Yosef HaTzadik made which came into play in this past week's Parsha, when Yosef HaTzadik told Paroi that he asked for permission to leave the land of Egypt in order to go bury his father Yaakov Avinu. Paroi said, "Why? You can't go. I can't have you go." Yosef HaTzadik said, "I'm sorry, I promised my father I'd do this." Paroi said, "You promised? Renege on your promise." The Gemara says, Yosef HaTzadik said, "Renege on my promise. If I go back on this promise, I'll go back also on the promise that I made, the commitment that I made to you, not to reveal the fact that I know more than you." And it was at that point that Paroi conceded, Paroi gave in to allowing him to go. Now the question is, this story that Torah relates, right before Yosef HaTzadik came to interpret the dreams of Paroi. In other words, Parshas Miketz begins with this fantastic dream that Paroi saw about the 7 good cows, the 7 bad cows, the 7 lean stalks, the 7 fat stalks, about which there's a tremendous amount written in the Gemara, the Sifrei Kabbalah. We'll talk about that at length, that dream, the important dream that Paroi had, and what that represented. But we find that what came before that, was this incident with Yosef HaTzadik being in prison, being taught all 70 languages. What's the association between these two items? Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moran that we have this Lashon Kodesh versus the 70 languages of the Goyim. Lashon Kodesh itself, per se, is something that represents complete purity, which these 70 languages of the Goyim cannot associate with in any way. There's no hookup whatsoever to bring together Lashon Kodesh, which represents the Jewish nation, which is the highest level of purity, versus the 70 languages of the Goyim, which represents something that's basically completely Tame. Rabbeinu Zal says the item which allows these two to have any connection whatsoever is the language called Targum. Targum is called Toiv Vora. It's the Eitz Hadas Toiv Vora. It's something which has in it good and bad, in a sense. Bad, in the sense that it is a language of the Goyim, it is Aramaic, it is a language of the Goyim. Good, in the sense that it's constructed with Hebrew letters, and it is something which Uncle Asager used to interpret the Torah. In other words, the Torah was brought out in this interpretation of Targum. So the Targum is something that represents an intermediary, an in-between, a go-between, between the Jewish nation and Lahavdil, the nations of the earth. This is why the language of Targum is nicknamed after Unculus. If you look in your Chumash, it's called Unculus, by the name Unculus, because Unculus represented a member of the nations of the Goyim who was in this in-between state. He started out as a Goy, he became a Jew. The whole concept of converts, which we explained last week, that they come from this element called Noiga, which is something that's sort of in-between. It's a hazy item that's in-between Kiddusha and Tumah, holiness and that which is wrong. And therefore, this item, this noiga, this in-between item, is something which we do have a potential to be able to bring into the Kiddusha. In fact, this is the greatest achievement. When a person is zeicha to take that which is in-between, which is sort of hazy, and include that into the Kiddusha, that's considered the highest accomplishment possible. When the Kiddusha doesn't consist just of holiness alone, but it's able to expand and to stretch over and to spill over, even to the Tumah, that's the highest accomplishment. This is the whole concept behind the mitzvah of Tosfos Shabbos, Tosfos Yom Tov, where we say, and again, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that there is a mitzvah besides the mitzvah, the technical mitzvah of keeping Shabbos itself, which consists of going from a certain time to a certain time. There's a special mitzvah of a Jew being able to add on to the Shabbos, to in front and in back, to add on from Friday, to steal some of the hours of Friday and include that into the Shabbos by trying to accept the Shabbos as early as possible, where the boundary line for that in Halacha is Plag HaMincha, which is approximately an hour and a quarter before sunset. That's the earliest time that a woman is permitted to light candles and accept the Shabbos upon herself, and that's the best time. If a Jewish woman wants to keep Shabbos Rolls Royce, that's the best time for a woman to light candles. And on the other hand, stretching it so that after Shabbos, a person stretches out the Shabbos and keeps more time, steals from Sunday, draws from Sunday into Shabbos, this is considered a very, very big mitzvah, a very big accomplishment. Why? Because this is the concept of Shnayi Mikra Ve'echot Targum, where we're taking this intermediary time, this time which is leading into the Shabbos or going right out of the Shabbos, which is sort of the go-between, Bein Kodesh L'chol. Bein Kodesh L'chol.